KYUT 89.5 FM, bringing you the sound of your city for 30 years.
And welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. First off, thank you very much for all the support for the great station of CIUT and your membership, naming the Taylor Report. We feel we've done our part, and we're very pleased, and we want to thank everybody who has become a member or donated. And I want to also remind everybody, and by the way, Phil Conlon is here.
Yes, good afternoon, Phil. We had a great week for a membership drive that shows that this station is followed by and loved by a lot of people. The goal of $60,000 was met and exceeded, and most of that money is already in. And if you're one of those who pledged, hope you follow up quickly. However, you have until December 31st, if you haven't yet donated any money, until December 31st, all of the same rules apply, and the grand prize draw for the trip to Iceland will be on January 1st. And if you get money into our hands before then, you are still eligible to win that wonderful, wonderful prize that CIUT has generated from Iceland, naturally, I think.
We're developing a relationship with Iceland.
We are. They're wonderful people, the Icelanders, and they're going to the World Cup, which the Americans and Italians are not.
Are they in NATO?
Unfortunately, they are in NATO, yes. The Americans arrived there in 1940-something, and they never went home yet.
So they remain.
They remained, yeah. They made themselves comfortable.
But they're a bunch of – it's great people. It's a great – and please, yes, if you didn't last week, now you can still do this. We want to remind you all the time. Become a member. And there's that special inducement that you can – you have a chance to go to get this Iceland trip. Is it for two?
It's for two.
There you go.
Yep.
Now, today we're going to be talking with Diana Johnston. She has written a tribute to Ed Herman, the great thinker, the principal author, I guess is the best way to express this, of the marvelous book, Manufacturing Consent, which could not be more timely than it is right now. All of his writings were timely, very brave man, wonderful man. He was a guest on this show, we're very proud to say. And so we'll be talking with Diana, that'll be coming up in a little bit. And then later in the second half of the show, we'll be talking to Vanessa Beely, who Vanessa has been covering probably better than anyone, a bunch of good coverage. I don't want to, better not say the best, but outstanding coverage of the war against Syria. And she's a frequent visitor to the region and to Syria. And we're very proud to be playing that interview. We did it earlier today. I want to say also about the Zimbabwe situation. I think we should congratulate the people of Zimbabwe. We should congratulate ZANU-PF, the political party, which is in power. It is the majority party. By the way, they have elections. You wouldn't know that reading the truth framework provided by the Globe, Mail, Toronto Star. It's actually a democracy. There are white members. I see some of the white members of the Senate being very critical of the situation. That's their right. You wouldn't know they existed reading our papers here, but they're speaking out. But the most important thing to say, in my opinion, is how well this has been handled. And I don't think this is obviously a painful situation. This is I know people don't quite comprehend it here, but that's due to the kind of colonial style coverage, which is always presumed that somehow, even though it was white colonialism, that it somehow was better than the present democratic framework. And so in fact, Robert Mugabe is a highly respected figure. He is, as the word is, old expression about oldness, he is superannuated, and his party and him found themselves in a dilemma. And there has not been violence there, and this is not the first time in countries in the world where this kind of crisis happens. very often it turns into civil wars, very unpleasant things. So I think that we should all be impressed, actually, at how mature they have all been, the population and the government, which I have to tell the Western critics of Zimbabwe. It shows a lot of mutual confidence within – it's a culture of mutual respect. So they are not all running in the streets saying the kinds of things that Western media would like to hear them say. And that's a shock to, I have to say, the Western media. But again, I want to emphasize, I worked in Africa for off and on for 20 years. And one of the things that I noted living in – I lived in Arusha, Tanzania, and I made my rounds in Africa – is that Robert Mugabe was one of the champions of the struggle against colonialism, particularly the struggle against apartheid. The country was called Rhodesia, and then there was the other country, South Africa. And many, many lives were lost. It was a long, difficult struggle. And some have chosen, since those principal struggles, to take the road of what you could call neocolonialism, where they invited the old masters back. Bring your money and take over the place and let us be the army. That is not the road that Zimbabwe took. And when Robert Mugabe's party, ZANU-PF, made the really heroic decision that the land question had to be addressed, that land had been taken from Africans, and now it was acted as though that was the way it's always going to be. You might say about, in reference to indigenous people in Canada. And so as a result, the decision was taken. To the moment that that decision was taken, Britain was saying it was going to pay the promised money that it promised as a peace, part of the peace settlement, like U.S. with the Vietnam settlement said, oh, we're going to give you a lot of money because we damaged your country. Well, when the government turned out to be one they couldn't control, then they said, well, we're not going to give you the money. And we're going to put various kinds of sanctions on you. And when ZANU-PF made that decision of land redistribution, the shoe fell here, and he became public enemy number one. And I can tell you again, working in Tanzania and talking to people, I met an outstanding journalist, by the way, white, by the way, who lives in South Africa, who told me they talk about nothing else on the street but the land issue. Why don't the Africans have the land was taken from them? Well, good question. So we have to respect. I think they're showing great respect towards Robert Mugabe. And he is hard to figure in terms of what he's going to do. But the party is asserting itself. So people have to stop talking about dictatorships and all that. The party has said they were with him, but now there is unhappiness and difference of opinion, factionalism. So the party is going to straighten that out. Good for them.